Next week marks President Trump's first 100 days. And this morning, the president tweeted, quote, "No matter how much I accomplished during the ridiculous standard of the first 100 days, and it has been a lot, media will kill."
So let's bring in some members of the media right now. Ayesha Rascoe, White House correspondent for Reuters. Hi, Ayesha.
Hi.
And Beth Fooey is with us as well, senior politics editor at NBC News and MSNBC. Hi, Beth.
How are you?
Doing well. And let's listen here to President Trump on Tuesday during his first trip as president back to Wisconsin, which is a state that Hillary Clinton was expected to win.
No administration has accomplished more in the first 90 days. That includes on military, on the border, on trade, on regulation, on law enforcement. We love our law enforcement, and on government reform.
Look, I mean, many historians would disagree with that, but let's talk about what he has done. I mean, his travel ban was held up in court. He didn't get health care repealed and replaced. He did get a Supreme Court justice confirmed. Beth, how would you rate the president's first 100 days?
Well, I'm going to decline to give him a letter grade. I would say that what we've seen President Trump do very well is use the pen to accomplish his agenda through the executive order. Although, as you mentioned, his major executive order that he initiated, that travel ban, has fallen apart. It's been blocked in court. It's a huge promise to his base that he would crack down on refugee and immigration from a lot of countries that are largely Muslim. And that's been a major failure, as was the health care bill that disastrously fell about a month ago. He is promising that it is coming back, that Congress, that the House is working up a compromise that Republicans can pass, perhaps as early as next week. But he is still really struggling. He has not had a major legislative accomplishment in this first 100 days, and that is a big problem. Other presidents in the past typically have.
So, Ayesha, let me ask you. I mean, I'll give the president some credit where he said in that tweet that he believes it's a ridiculous standard of the first 100 days, even though he wants to be the best at that ridiculous standard. But doesn't he have a point?
Well, I mean, yeah, the first 100 days is something that really it's just something that people have started to focus on, or that people have focused on for the past few decades. But it's not really there's no real thing behind it. There's nothing really backing up why you focus on the first 100 days. But what's funny is, instead of downplaying the first 100 days, the Trump administration has played it up. So they've played into this idea of the first 100 days and that they're doing more than anyone else, and making these arguments about the first 100 days and really tracking it. So instead of trying to downplay it and saying it's this imaginary metric, they've played it up.
Well, and it does seem like they would like to at least show some progress on health care before that first 100 days. Let's listen here to President Trump yesterday.
It's evolving. You know, there was never a give up. The press sort of reported there was like a give up. There's no give up. We started. Remember, it took Obamacare 17 months. I've really been negotiating this for 2 months, maybe even less than that.
Beth, any chance that they're actually going to be able to do this next week, or at all?
Well, number one, what President Trump said in that soundbite is not accurate. It was a give up. The bill was pulled because everybody saw the writing on the wall that
right.
It was not going to pass. So it was pulled away. Is there going to be another bill? Well, there will continue to be attempts. This is a major, major issue for Republicans to their voters, that there's going to be something done about Obamacare, and they will continue to make stabs at it. But let's look at the reality. The House does not return until 6:30 next Tuesday night. That means they'd have until Friday, basically 3 days, to get the legislative language back, score it through the CBO, get a whip count, and put it on the floor for a vote. That is just not how things work on Capitol Hill. They do not work at that speed, particularly on something as big and complicated and controversial as this item. And let's keep in mind that the House also has to work to keep the government open. There's a deadline as of the end of next week to fund the government. It has to go through the House and the Senate. That, too, is going to be a major challenge for them. So the likelihood that both things can be accomplished by next Friday is very, very slim.
Who knew healthcare could be so complicated?
Who knew?
Who knew? You know, this to me all has shades of President Obama's, the very beginning of his first term, right? The pieces ostensibly are in place for one party to push through an agenda long promised, and yet it doesn't necessarily happen. And then the midterms show up, right? I mean, we've got glimpses of that with this special election in Georgia, where Democratic candidate John Ossoff almost won by that 50% of the vote needed to avoid a runoff. Didn't get there, but he got quite a large percentage of the vote. And now we also see see that Utah Republican Jason Chaffetz has announced that he's not running again and may actually even step down early. So what does this tell us about whether the House will be in play, Aisha, in the midterms?
Well, I think it might be. I think it's too early to say whether the House will be in play. But certainly these election results, these close elections in places that should be very friendly to Republicans is raising concerns. And it's for Republicans. And it's something that they're going to be looking at. And so when you're looking at trying to get health care done, which is very controversial and could have a lot of blowback, you have to think these moderate Republicans are going to be looking at that and saying, do we want to take this tough vote? Do we want to really? Especially on something that may not even get through the Senate. So you have to think that this is kind of playing in their minds.
You know, on the Senate side, there was a statement that was pretty unusual this week from Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, a Republican, who was talking about President Trump holding all these meetings and spending so much time at his private club in Mar-a-Lago. Let's listen.
With the trips to Florida, I do wish that he would spend more time in Washington, D.C. That's what we have the White House for, and we would love to see more of those State Department visits in Washington, D.C.
Beth, is that a sentiment, do you think, that a lot of people, even Republicans in Washington, are feeling, that he's spending too much time at Mar-a-Lago?
Well, you have a president who's hovering around 35% to 45% popularity. It's quite low, particularly for a president in his first 100 days, where you usually have the highest approval rating. So the Republicans are not as scared of him as they might have been in the beginning of the term, and he just has not proven to be, you know, the big scary lion that everybody expected. So Republicans are able to step out a little bit more, perhaps express their reservations with some aspects of what he's trying to do. On the other hand, you know, Joni Ernst, she's been a big supporter of Trump's. Iowa went very decisively for Trump in November by about 9 or 10 points. So she is sort of sticking her neck out a little bit there. But let's recall that these town hall meetings that we've seen most of these members of Congress face are filled with people who are not happy with Donald Trump. The Republicans have liked to call them paid protesters or left-wing people. Mostly, I've been out covering some of these town meetings, and pretty much they're just constituents, many of whom have never been involved in town meetings before, never gone to one, not particularly political, but they're concerned about what they're seeing. They're worried about health care. They're worried about the fact that Trump hasn't released his tax returns. Mm. They're worried about the connections to Russia. And that's what these members of Congress are hearing from, even in Republican areas and in typically Republican town meetings.
Hmm. Well, let's play another little bit of tape here. This is from the Mark Levin radio show this week. And Attorney General...
This is the best story of the week, I think.
Where Attorney General Jeff Sessions was asked about the president's travel ban that is tied up in courts, and he spoke about the judge in Hawaii who blocked the ban, saying this.
I really am amazed that a judge sitting on an island in the Pacific can issue an order that stops the president of the United States from what appears to be clearly his statutory and constitutional powers.
Aside from the fact that Hawaii is part of the United States, Hawaii Senator Brian Schatz, a Democrat, tweeted that, quote, state of Hawaii has many islands, not one island, around 1.5 million people. Please use the Google. And Mr. Attorney General, you voted for that judge. The island is called Oahu. It's my home. Have some respect. Aisha, this one's for you.
Yeah, I think that I'm surprised, or I would not be surprised if Attorney General Sessions, if he doesn't apologize or kind of walk that back a bit. I mean, Hawaii is a state, so to kind of raise concerns about a judge in Hawaii being able to, I guess, weigh in on what the president's doing, it's a bit of an odd position for an administration to take. So I wouldn't be surprised if they walk that back a bit.
It was strange, though. He actually has already said he has no regrets about that statement. But I mean, Beth, what in the world is that about? I mean, it's a state.
It sure is. Yeah. It's a Democratic state. It's a heavily Democratic state. Perhaps Attorney General Sessions is not concerned about offending Trump voters by saying what he said. But the interesting thing there is that he's no longer – he was a United States senator from Alabama. He no longer is. He's the Attorney General of the United States. He's there to represent the entire country now, not just his own state, now not just his own party. He seems to have forgotten that a bit in this particular comment.
I want to play one more piece of tape here just before we go. We're not going to have too much time to talk about it. But Sarah Palin was at the White House with Kid Rock and Ted Nugent hanging out with President Trump on Wednesday. She told CNN's Jake Tapper that Jesus was booked.
Yes, I invited my buddies Kid Rock and Ted Nugent, some bold, courageous, all-American dudes who I knew would have good conversation with the president and get to express a lot of good middle-class work ethic type issues and policy proposals that they could all relate to. And that's exactly what happened at the dinner.
And you can see a picture that they took at the White House at hereandnow.org. Ayesha Rascoe, White House correspondent for Reuters. Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC News and MSNBC. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.